The gospel message is very simple, and I just want to read one verse from the Epistle to Romans, chapter 10, and verse 10. It's a verse that, you might say, sums up the gospel message in a nutshell. For with the heart is believed to righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. I'm going to refer to one or two other scriptures shortly, but just for now I'll just pause on this verse. As I say, it describes the gospel in a nutshell, that it involves believing with the heart. And if you look back at verse 9, it says, believe in thy heart that God has raised him, that is Jesus, from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. There was a man in Philippi who was a jailer, and he was about to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners that he was responsible for had escaped. But there were two prisoners in his charge by the name of Paul and Silas, and they were believers, and they were singing and praising God in the middle of the night when there was an earthquake. And the jailer, because the earthquake had resulted in the prison collapsing and all the bonds that held the prisoners in place had broken, he assumed that all the prisoners had escaped. And he was about to kill himself because it was a disgrace to have allowed such a thing to happen. But Paul shouted out, because he had some premonition that the jailer was about to kill himself. He said, do thyself no harm, indicating that the prisoners were still there. And the jailer, because he heard Paul praising God and Silas too, I think the jailer had been touched in his heart. And he knew that he was a sinner and needed to be saved, and he needed to have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as his saviour. But he didn't know what he had to do. He said, what must I do to be saved? Paul, in the urgency of the moment, simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believing with the heart is the first and essential part for your salvation today. And it's not changed in nearly 2,000 years. The gospel message has never altered, but it involves believing in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who God has sent into this world. We're getting near to Christmas. Today is the first Sunday in Advent. People are getting ready to think about the birth of the Lord Jesus at Christmas time. God sent him in order that he might die for you and for me, so that you and I could be saved from our sins. His blood was shed on the cross at Calvary, where the Lord Jesus died. He basically offered himself as a spotless, perfect offering to God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist said of him when he saw him approaching. God sent him to die for you and for me. And there Jesus lifted up on the cross where he died, there too he shed his precious blood, the blood that can cleanse from every sin. There's not one single person in the world tonight who cannot avail themselves of that precious blood. There is no condition of the human heart that is beyond being saved tonight. The precious blood of Jesus is able to cleanse from every sin. And believe me, the Lord Jesus knows what sin is. He knows the heart of man. Scripture says that. He knew what man was like. As a perfect man himself, he was perhaps unique in understanding what you and I are like as sinners. As God, because the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, he is God. He has a knowledge of you and me that goes beyond the way that you and I can know each other too. He knows your heart. He knows what it is. The scripture says, the prophet Jeremiah says, the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. And that's just what the human nature is like, and we know it in ourselves. And you can always find somebody else who you think is worse than yourself, but you know, you have to stop and think that my heart is just as capable of doing what the worst person is capable of doing. We're all the same, we're all sinners. Thankfully, you know, we're not all behaving perhaps in the way that some do behave. Through grace we have much to be thankful for, but the heart of man is desperately wicked, and there's no way that we could ever be in the presence of God with such a heart. But by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who God has provided as the Saviour of sinners, with the heart is believed to righteousness. That's what this scripture says. That means that my heart, which is desperately wicked, and myself as a sinner, God can look upon me as righteous because I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for me and has taken upon himself all those years ago the sins that I've committed, both the sins that are in the past, the sins of today, and the sins that no doubt I will commit as long as the Lord may leave us here. In the infinite wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he took upon himself those sins all those years ago. And if you believe in Jesus and accept that he has died for you, you can have that knowledge too, that your sins have been forgiven and that you will be looked upon by God as righteous if you believe. Believe in thine heart, for with the heart is believed to righteousness. And then it goes on to say, and with the mouth, confession made to salvation. I think this scripture is wonderfully balanced because it indicates the two things. There's believing, but there's also confessing. And I don't want to stress one without the other. I think both are important. And yet believing is put first in this verse 10 that I've read. The previous verse actually says confessing with the mouth Jesus as Lord, before it says, and believe in thy heart. But I think, you know, we have to believe first, and then we will confess. I think this verse puts it perhaps in the moral order of what actually happens. And this verse I've been thinking about over the last few days. In fact, ever since I was here exactly a week ago, listening to the preaching in this room. Because the one that was preaching a week ago brought to our attention three people. And as I thought about those three people, each one of them believed and each one of them confessed. And the preacher at the time was bringing out the aspect of those three persons that believed that Jesus was the Son of God. You might remember, those of you that were here, he spoke about the centurion that was at the cross, who witnessed what took place at the cross. And the centurion, he must have believed in his heart, because he publicly confessed, truly, this man was Son of God. That was a Roman soldier. He believed, and with the mouth he confessed, and I believe that he was saved instantly at that moment. The other person that was spoken about was the blind man, who you can read of in John's Gospel, chapter 9. A blind man that was given his sight by the Lord Jesus. But it was done at a distance. He had to go to a pool and wash. So he didn't actually see the Lord Jesus. He didn't know him by visual recognition. But the Lord Jesus found him after he'd been cast out of the synagogue. And the Lord said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And the blind man said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And Jesus said, he that speaks to you is he. And the blind man, for the first time, was looking at the one who'd actually saved him, Jesus, the Son of God. And he said, I believe. And he did him homage. Another man that believed in Jesus and confessed publicly that he was the Son of God and gave him glory. And just to complete, the final man was Paul, Apostle Paul, another man that believed. He was in the middle of persecuting the Christians, and he was on his way to Damascus. His name was Saul. That's how he was known at the time. And he was persecuting Christians because he thought it was the right thing to do. But in the middle of that journey, the Lord appeared to him in glory, because the Lord had died already, had been buried, but he'd been raised. And the Lord Jesus was alive, has risen. But Paul didn't know that. He didn't believe it. He thought it was a rumour that had been spread that Jesus, he thought Jesus had died, and that was it, the end of the story. He thought these Christians were mad. He thought they believed in something that was just a false story. But on that day, Paul met him. Jesus revealed himself in all his glory. It was a brightness of glory that was above the brightness of the noonday sun. And Saul immediately fell down before that vision that he saw. And as he fell down on the earth, the Lord Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me?" And Saul answered and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Now Saul was blinded at that moment, and he was led into Damascus, and he was met by another brother who explained what the Lord was doing with him. And Paul, he believed. After he'd been there a few days, it says that straightway in the synagogues he preached Jesus, that he is the Son of God. You know, that was another example of a man that believed, confessed, and was saved. And that's, in a nutshell, that's what the gospel preaching is all about. You see, it's to bring you to the realization that your blessing, your salvation, can only be secured by you believing on the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God, who died for you, who shed his precious blood, that your sins might be cleansed. And by confessing that you love the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Now, and with the mouth, confession made to salvation, this verse says. I'd like to suggest that it's a public expression that you are saved. It might be that you stand up like I am and are telling people that you've been saved and that you know Jesus as your Saviour. It might be that it's your way of life is the confession that you're a Christian. But whatever it is, if you believe Jesus is your Saviour, you will be a changed person, because it involves repentance, which is a change of heart, a change of thinking. You no longer think that you're able to save yourself, but you've put your whole trust in the Lord Jesus. You no longer think that by doing good works you'll be saved. You no longer think that you can just attend church and that will save you, that God will look upon you as a different person because you've entered into a church building. You know, that doesn't work, although there are people today who think that simply attending church is enough to give them a status in the sight of God that will qualify them for heaven. But that is not so. This scripture makes it very clear that it's believing in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he has died for you. That's the only thing that will save you. And thankfully, it's nothing that you have to do. The Lord Jesus has done all of the important aspect of securing your righteousness. It's believing, for with the heart is believed to righteousness. It is believing. But with the mouth, confession made to salvation. Now, I've given you three examples from last week of persons that believed and confessed. There was another example I had in my mind to give you today, and I'll just briefly mention it, and it's a person by the name of Nathanael. And I think he's perhaps the first, one of the first who are spoken of as believing and confessing. And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, I'll just briefly refer to it. You might remember that's in the very early days of the Lord Jesus commencing his public ministry. And he found various fishermen and made disciples of them. He invited them to come and follow him. And Philip was one of those that followed him. And Philip was from Bethsaida of the city of Andrew and Peter, who were two other persons that the Lord Jesus had called. And Philip goes to find his friend Nathanael. And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 45, it says, Philip finds Nathanael and says to him, We have found him of whom Moses wrote in the law and the prophets, Jesus, the son of Joseph, who is from Nazareth. Philip had found the one of whom the prophets had spoken, the one that many people at that time were waiting for, the coming in of Jesus, the Messiah, who was to be the King of Israel, and who they knew would come from Nazareth. Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip says to him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and says of him, Behold, one truly an Israelite, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael says to him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Nathanael encountered the Lord Jesus and immediately recognized that there was something unique about him. The Lord had seen him when he was under a fig tree, all by himself. No doubt Nathanael, there was something going on in his thoughts under that fig tree. Maybe he was praying to God, who knows? But when the Lord said he'd seen him there, Nathanael immediately knew that he was speaking with one who was none other than the Son of God. He believed and he confessed before Philip. He said, Thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Just another simple illustration of one who believed, one who confessed, and one who became saved. In the other Gospels, Nathanael is known as Bartholomew, one of the apostles, one of those that was who followed the Lord Jesus and was active in service after the Lord had died and risen. And when the apostles were set up there in Jerusalem, he was amongst them. But he came the same way as every Christian. He believed and he confessed and he found his salvation. I just want to speak about two other persons in the scriptures. Now, it's possible that you might believe but not confess. Now, don't get me wrong, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. But there is an added blessing, and there is present salvation for you if you do confess the name of Jesus. There are people today who believe, Christians who you might call secret believers, secret disciples. In fact, there's one in the scripture. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. He was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly through fear of the Jews. And there are people who are persecuted today because they're Christians. And sometimes they are literally fearful of confessing the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, I wouldn't say anything against such persons. I don't know how I would be in such circumstances. But there is great blessing in knowing the strength of the name of the Lord Jesus and being able to confess the name of the Lord Jesus. That man, Joseph of Arimathea, for example, he was the one that went to Pilate and begged Pilate to release the body of Jesus so that he might take it and embalm it and prepare it for burial. You know, in a way, he overcame his fears and he went before the most feared man of the day, Pilate, the one who had condemned Jesus to death. Just think, admitting that you wanted to be associated with the very person that Pilate had condemned to death. But he overcame his fears and he confessed that he wanted to take Jesus. And he did it with another person, Nicodemus. I was thinking too of the lepers who had been cleansed. You can find those in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. There were 10 lepers who met Jesus, and they stood afar off, as lepers had to do in those days. They lifted up their voice to Jesus and said, Master, have compassion on us. You know, the Lord Jesus, he did have compassion on them. He immediately said to them to go and show themselves to the priest. And those 10 lepers, they went off towards the priests. And as they were going, they looked down and suddenly realized that their leprosy had all gone. They were cleansed. As they were going, they saw that they were cleansed. Leprosy speaks to, in scripture, often speaks of sin. It's a condition that eats away at us, just like sin does, and destroys us. But the Lord Jesus cleansed their leprosy. And one of them, it says, seeing that he was cured, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. Jesus answered and said, were not the 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? No, I was thinking about that. The Lord Jesus, he cleansed all 10 lepers. 9 of them, I'm not saying they took it for granted, but nine of them appeared to not realize that the Lord wanted something more from them. But this one, who was a Samaritan that returned, the Lord Jesus says of him, there have not been found to return and give glory to God save this stranger. Now, I was thinking about the 9. You know, they, in a way, they believed, but they didn't confess. And I think they missed out, because they didn't get this message from the Lord Jesus, who said to the one that did return, he said, rise up and go thy way, thy faith has made thee well. They didn't get that personal link with the Lord Jesus. And I would like to encourage everyone here that not only do you believe on the Lord Jesus, but you confess his name as well. That means, like Nathanael did, that means that in the presence of someone else, you let them know that Jesus is your Saviour. And that there's great blessing in doing that. And I believe that's something that should mark us as Christians and as believers throughout our lives. Believing is something that you go on doing all the time. It's not just a one-off event. You believe and you continue in believing. You know, there's a man in the scripture that said, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, the more you believe that Jesus is able to help you in every situation and circumstance in your life, you will be blessed. And that is what Jesus wants for you, is that you not just trust him for your sins, but you trust him for every aspect of your life, as he may leave us here, and that you believe that he's able to help you and be with you, and he will never leave you, never forsake you. And that's what this one who returned to Jesus, he knew, he had that sense, and it came because he confessed and he gave glory to God. And so believing is a continual thing. And I think confessing with the mouth, you know, scripture sometimes speaks of our conversation and links it with our manner of life. And I think our manner of life is also a confession. And our manner of life, I believe, should be changed by the fact that we believe on the Lord Jesus. And I think the two go together. That's why that verse, Romans 10, verse 10 that I read, I think it's a wonderful balanced verse, that not only do you believe in your heart to righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now it's possible that you can confess but not believe. And just to close, I want to read of a man in Acts chapter 8, verse 9. There's a certain man whose name was Simon. He was a magician. He practiced magic arts and astonished the nation of Samaria, saying that he himself was some great one. Well, Simon, along with a number of others in Samaria, heard a preacher by the name of Philip, and all gave heed to him from small to great, saying, this is the power of God which is called great. Verse 12, when they believed Philip, announcing the glad tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon also himself believed, and having been baptized, continued constantly with Philip, and beholding the signs and great works of power which took place, was astonished. So what actually happened? Philip came and preached the gospel. No doubt he emphasized the importance of believing. He emphasized the importance of confessing. This man Simon, he claimed that he believed. And he continued with Philip and associated himself with the Christians. But the Christians, Philip, Peter and John, we find that in verse 15, they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because he hadn't yet fallen upon any of them, only that they were baptized to the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. And then this man Simon, the magician, having seen that by the laying on of the hands of the apostles the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give to me also this power, in order that on whomsoever I may lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, "Thy money go with thee to destruction, because thou hast thought that the gift of God can be obtained by money." I think Peter was able to discern that Simon was not genuine. He'd made a confession of faith and he'd associated himself with believers, but his heart had never been affected. He thought that the gift of God could be obtained with money. He didn't recognize that his heart had to be touched. He didn't recognize that he had to believe from his heart and that he would be made righteous that way. Peter had very strong and stern words for this man, Simon. He said, "Thy money go with thee to destruction." He says, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not upright before God." Peter immediately knew that although he'd apparently confessed, his heart had not believed. And I just leave that as a warning. You know, there are many people today that claim to be Christian. Many people might associate themselves with Christians and might confess to being a Christian, might even say that they love the Lord Jesus. But if the heart has not been affected, you will make absolute shipwreck, just like Simon did. Peter said to him, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and supplicate the Lord, if indeed the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee, for I see thee to be in the gall of bitterness and bond of unrighteousness." Simon answering said, "Supplicate ye for me to the Lord, so that nothing may come upon me of the things of which ye have spoken." We know nothing more of Simon from this point. He's not mentioned again in Scripture. I don't know what happened, whether he ever did repent, whether his heart was ever changed, I don't know. But I just leave these examples from the Holy Scriptures for you of persons that believed and that confessed. And I would urge you to be engaged in both these aspects, to believe on the Lord Jesus and to confess with your mouth that he is your Lord. And that is the way to salvation. That is the way to blessing. That is the way to joy. That is the way that you will become what the Lord Jesus intends you to be. And to find others that you can enjoy your Christianity with. It's not something that you can do in isolation, in secret. That's not the way you'll enjoy full joy and blessing. But may you know the fullness of the blessing that God has for you as you both believe and confess to salvation. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.